Punjabi Hari. Gopidana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Gopidana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Vrajadana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Vrajadana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Dayo Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Yasoda Nandana Vrajadana Randana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Dayo Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Dayo Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Raghupati Raghav Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavana Sitaram. Sitaram Jayo Sitaram Sitaram Jayo Sitaram. Sitaram Jayo Sitaram Sitaram Jayo Sitaram. Sitaram Jayo Sitaram Sitaram Jayo Sitaram. Sitaram 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 Jayo Sitaram. Prabhupada, 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 Jayo Jayo Prabhupada. Jayo Jayo Gurudev, 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 Gurudev.
Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Pariviraj Gacharya Sirasata Sisi Mati Dhani Gosami Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktanda Swarama Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanandi.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya Naranjaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nasta Presha Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tomash Loke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Tato Rajastamo Bhava Kama Loba Dayaschaye Chetai Tairana Vidam Sitam Satve Prasidati.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, 10th Chapter, The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, text number 2. On the most auspicious appearance day of Lord Ramachandra, Ram Navami. Tasyapi Bhagavan Esha Sakshat Brahmamayo Hari Angshang Shena Chutur Dhagat Putratvam Pratitaha Surai Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna Iti Sangyaya Tasyapi Bhagavan Esha Sakshat Brahma Mayohari Angshangshena Chaturdhagat Putratvang Pratita Surai Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna Iti Sangyaya Tasyapi Bhagavan Esha Sakshat Brahma Mayohari Angshang Shena Chaturdhagat Putratvang Pratita Surai Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna Iti Sangyaya. Bharata Shatrughna Iti Sangyaya Chapi Bhagavanesha Sakshat Brahma Mayohari Shangshena Chaturdaga Rama Lakshmana Bharata Chatrughna Iti Samgyaya Tasyapi Bhagavanesha Sakshat Brahma Mayohari Sena Chaturdagat Bhutvatvam Iti Tasurai Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna Iti Sangyaya Tasya of him, Maharaj Dasarath, Api also, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Eshaha, all of them, Sakshat, directly, Brahma Mayaha, the Supreme Bhara Brahman, the Absolute Truth, Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Angsha Angshena, by an expansion of a plenary portion, Chaturdha, by fourfold expansions, Aghat, accepted, Putratvang, sonhood, Prartitaha, being prayed for, Surahai, by the demigods, Rama, Lord Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Lord Lakshman, Bharata, Lord Bharata, Shatrughnaha, and Lord Shatrughna, Iti, thus, Sangyaya, by different names. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasarath. Purport. Lord Ramachandra and his brothers Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms. Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in Brahma Sanghita 5.39, Ramadi Murtishu Kalani Amena Tishtan, the Lord is situated in many forms, such as Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, and these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead, and they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, who being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful, because the sons of Maharaj Dasarath, became the sons of Maharaj Dasarath in response to prayers by the demigods. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vacha Alam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadam Maham Vande Sri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Maravam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. With the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, especially our revered seniors, we'd like to say a few words on this verse on the holy occasion of Ram Navami. We may wonder why Shukadeva Goswami is only speaking very briefly on the pastimes of Lord Ram. It's just two short chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a very epic work, which has 18,000 verses. So why is it so? Because Lord Ramachandra's pastimes are unlimited. And the Ramayana by Valmiki is a great work. How many verses? Somebody knows? A lot. That's correct. A lot of verses, to be precise. So, but why is he only speaking so shortly about these pastimes if this is the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because he knew that Maharaj Parikshit, being born in such a great family of kings, he had been hearing Ramayana from the day he was born. He had been hearing these stories of Ram, Lakshman, and Shatrughna, and Bharat, and Hanuman since his early childhood. So he would just give it in a nutshell, in a synopsis. Also, he did not want to supersede Valmiki in his work of writing the Ramayana, because Vaishnavas are very humble. They do not want to surpass their predecessors. In the same way, we can see how Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita only touches briefly on certain pastimes of Lord Chaitanya that have already been mentioned by other authors in depth. So he will just speak a few verses and sum them up, but not go into depth, into detail. Because this is Vaishnava culture, tradition, that not to try to surpass a previous author or a previous acharya. So, the Lord appears in this universe primarily for two purposes. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam Dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. In Gita, Krishna tells the primary reasons for his appearance. Why he's appearing time and time again, millennium after millennium. It is said that the incarnations of the Lord are as numerous as the waves in the ocean. How many waves are there in the ocean? A lot. That's correct. That's very precise. They are continuously appearing. In the same way, the Lord is appearing in His numerous incarnations again and again in all the species of life. We should not think that He's only appearing in the human species. But He is appearing since time immemorial. Why? Because He wants to protect His devotees, annihilate the miscreants, and re-establish the principles of Dharma. That is His main purpose in His appearance here in this world. Of course, there are also internal reasons which are more confidential, which are not so apparent to the mundane view. So, why did Lord Ramachandra appear? Now, Lord Ramachandra appeared in a previous age, millions of years ago, and we may ask ourselves, what was the reason? Why did the Lord have to appear? Because we know that the Lord is always engaged in His loving pastimes with His eternal associates. So what instigated the appearance of Lord Ram? There was a very specific reason. We all know the story from Srimad Bhagavatam, how Jain Vijay had been cursed to take birth in this world for 3 continuous births as demons. So one of those appearances was Ravan and Kumbhakarna. Now Ravan, the word Ravan means the one who makes others cry. That was his very suitable name for him. Because just when he appeared in this world, he made others cry. Now he was born, his father was Sumali, and he was a Rakshasa. But Rakshasa doesn't mean that you're a bad person. Just like many of us here, by material designation, you may qualify us as Yavanas and Mleches. Yes, by material birth, we have to admit, at least for myself, that we are Yavanas and Mleches. We have taken birth in families which are not known as very refined or very civilized as such. But that doesn't necessarily make us bad people. As you can see, Sumali was actually a very virtuous, a very pious personality. And he had the desire to do something good for his Rakshasa race. So he engaged himself in penance, in austerities, he studied the Vedic scriptures, and he had a very beautiful daughter called Kaikasi, who was a very virtuous lady, and she grew up in the forest, and she happened to meet the sage Vishrava, and she approached that sage, and she wanted to have children from Vishrava. Now Vishrava, who was absorbed in meditation, who was a great sage, a great Brahmin, he granted her wish, but he also told her that because she had been approaching him at an unsuitable time, that her sons would be great demons. Upon which, because she was a virtuous lady, she was quite disturbed, to say the least, and she prayed for a boon, for a blessing. So Vishrava said that your first few sons will be terrible demons, but your youngest son, he will be an exceptionally pious and virtuous personality, and he will supersede the whole lot. He will make up for all the trouble that you will be getting from your first batch. So thus took birth Ravan, Kumbhakarna, and they also had a sister, which was named Shupurnaka, which was a very hideous Rakshashi. Now you have to know that Rakshashas are like the negative the negative version of demigods. Like, you know, the devas. They're very powerful. They can do so many things. They're practically, from our perspective, they're practically all-powerful. They can move at their own will. They can do what they please. They can appear in different forms. So you imagine a deva, but in a negative way, with a very devious and bad character. That is a rakshasa. So they can change their form. They can move at their own will. They can practically do anything from our perspective. So these brothers and sisters, they were there, and their mother, Kaikasi, saw that they were not in a very good situation, because to be a rakshasa, and especially to be a demoniac personality, is not a very good situation. So Vishrava had other wives and had other offspring. One of his sons was Kuvera. You all know Kuvera. He's the treasurer of the demigods. So when Kaikasi saw Kuvera, she thought, why can't my children be more like him? Parents think like that sometimes. They see kids of other people and they think, why can't my kids be more like that one? So she told her children that you should perform tapasya and take an example of this Kuvera. Look, he's got his act together, you know. He did his MA, BA, PhD, you know. He's got it. He's opulent. He's very, very prosperous. So they went and they performed severe austerities. It is stated that Ravan, who was born with 10 heads, if you imagine, 10 heads, that's quite a character. He performed tapasya for 10,000 years without complete celibacy, no eating, no sleeping, just totally focused on his goal. And every 1,000 year, he would cut off one of his 10 heads and offer it as a sacrifice. He was worshipping Brahma. So after 9,000 years were over, 9 heads were gone, still nothing happened. 10,000 years were over, still nothing happened. So he was about to take off his last head and offer it in the fire. And then Brahma appeared, because he was obliged by the tapasya of Ravan. And he said, alright, what do you want? So Ravan asked him for immortality. Start at the top. Ask for immortality. If you meet a big person, don't ask for small things. Start from the top. In the same way, when we meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should not ask for little things. We should start at the top. Please give me pure devotional service. I only want to shelter your lotus feet, unflinching devotion and friendship with all living entities, and serving the devotees. That is what we should aspire for. But Ravan, because he was a demon, he thought, I want to be immortal. Let me get this straight here. So Brahma said, sorry, can't do. I'm not immortal myself. I can only give what I got. I don't have it. I can't give it. Sorry, it's out of stock. So in a roundabout way, he was asking for blessings. And he said, all right, let me not be killed by any rakshasa, by any demigod, by this, by that, by the other thing. The only species that he forgot to mention were humans. Because to rakshasas, humans are like ants to us. You're not going to ask a boon, let me not be killed by an ant, right? You feel like it's not really a threat, is it? So we're not going to ask for that. So in the same way, he thought, humans, you know. When he appeared, he was so ferocious. Him and his brother, especially Kumbhakarna, they would just go roam the forests and they would just eat sages. You know, amongst rakshasas, they're very knowledgeable. They know that actually sages, especially Brahmins, they're the most tasty. Because they only eat pure foods. Huh? They only eat prasad. So they would just eat sages and do so many obnoxious things. But they also had a youngest brother, Vibhishan, who was very virtuous and who was a very pious soul. Of course, they regarded him as the black sheep of the family. They thought, this fellow, he's useless. Huh? He's completely opposite. We can't do anything with him. So they always kind of left him out. So, Ravan got his blessings. Then Kumbhakarna. He was so huge that he would just devour anything that came his way. He would live on flesh and blood. When it came his turn to ask for benedictions, Brahma got very scared because he thought, uh-oh, this is going to be trouble. So he asked one of his wives, Saraswati, to please influence this fellow in such a way so that he will not cause too much harm. So when he was about to ask for his blessing, his boon, he wanted to say something, and Saraswati appeared on his tongue and he said, I want to sleep. And Brahma said, Tatastu, so be it. So he just went to sleep. And only one day a year can he be woken up. And then he causes a lot of havoc in that one day by just destroying and eating people and whatever comes his way. So he got that boon, that blessing, that he would just sleep. But one day a year, he could be awoken. So the devas, they also appeared. They appeared as monkeys, as vanaras. Not exactly monkeys. A vanara is not exactly a monkey. They're like a mixture between, they look like human, monkey, something in between, like that. So they also appeared, and as we hear here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Ramachandra, the son of Maharaj Dasarath. Maharaj Dasarath, he had three wives, and he begot these four illustrious sons through these three wives. He was actually childless for a long time, but by the blessings of the sages, they did perform a yajna, a sacrifice, in which certain oblations were sanctified and then given to the wives of Maharaj Dasarath, and they became pregnant, and they were giving birth to Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, who are none different than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ramadi Murshishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan. It is stated in Brahma Sanghita, Rama Adi, beginning with Rama. Rama is the first of the incarnations or the expansions of Krishna. In fact, we worship Lord Ram and Lord Narasingadev because they are very prominent. They are, of all the different avatars, they are the most prominent and they are the most important to us. And they perform extraordinary pastimes. So, it is stated that just like you take a candle and with that one candle you light other candles, all the candles will have the same potency. But one is the original candle, the one from which everything began. Therefore it says here, his expansion and the expansions of his expansion. So the Lord, he does not have to work. He does everything. Parasya shakti rivdayava shurites bhaviki jnana bala kriya cha. Everything is actually happening simply by his own sweet will, by his desire. It is manifested. When we want to do something, we have to go to work. We have to pull our sleeves back and we have to get involved with things. And it's quite absorbing to be involved with things, as we have all noticed, being residents here of this earthly planet. So, but Krishna, He does not have to do that. Simply by his desire, he can accomplish all his purposes. So the devas appeared, and the Lord appeared, and all the inhabitants of Ayodhya were so joyous. They were so happy because they saw the beautiful, auspicious, wonderful form of Lord Ram right in front of their eyes. And they were so enchanted, they were so enamored, they were so fascinated by seeing these four beautiful, virtuous youth grow up, that their hearts completely melted and they dedicated their entire life, their entire existence to Lord Ram. We cannot tell the whole story of the Ramayana in this very short class. But when Ram was banished to the forest, the entire population of Ayodhya said, "That's okay, you go to the forest, we'll go with you." And they all started leaving. And Ram had to somehow appease them. And then in the middle of the night, he allowed them to come with him up to a certain point. And then in the middle of the night, he just disappeared. Because it was making him heartbroken to see them having to leave their city and their occupations, their lives, just for his own sake. So Lord Ram is the most virtuous personality. Sometimes people find fault with Krishna. They say Krishna is immoral. He has done so many bad things. And there's a long list. No need to get into details. Because in this day and age, we have a very strong perception of what is morality, or what we think is morality, or what we think is good. So Lord Ram appeared, and he is acting perfectly. He's the perfect son to Maharaj Dasarath and to all his mothers. He is so obedient that when he got banished to the forest, he paid his respects, his obeisances to all his three mothers. He was about to be coronated as the Prince Regent. The Prince Regent means the one who would be the king when his father expires. The day before, when he heard that he was banished to the forest, he went and he gave his respectful obeisances to all his three mothers, touched their feet, and took their blessings to go and reside in the forest for 14 years. So he's the perfect son. He's the perfect husband. Krishna married 16,108 wives. And he had some other pastimes. So many people are saying, this is not very good. I don't like this. This Krishna is... But Ram, he made this vrata, which is very difficult for a kshatriya. Eka patni vrata. One wife, not more. So when Shupurnaka approached him in the forest, and she wanted to have a relationship with him, she said, and she took on a very beautiful form. She was not in form of Rakshashi. She was exquisite, extraordinary. No need to try to imagine brahmacharis. So, but Ram, he said, "No, I've taken my wife Sita, and I will not accept any other wife. But I have here Lakshman, and he is very suitable match. You should go to him. He will make you happy. No worries. Very handsome. Yes. Very strong. Good looking. So go to him." Then she went to him, and then he said, "I am simply the humble servant of Ram." So, you know, he's maybe playing hard to get. You have to go back to him like that. "I'm sorry, I'm only the servant, you know, you have to talk to the boss, you know. And anybody comes to you and wants something from you, if you actually feel, I'm just a servant, I'm not the boss, you have to talk to my superior. That puts you in a very safe position."
So we should not try to stick our head out and try to take the superior role, the superior position. So, and then of course we know how the pastime unfolded. She went back to Ram, was again rejected, and realized, ha! Sita! She's the problem! Now if I get rid of her, then that is my chance. So, she wanted to attack and devour Sita. Upon which, Lakshman took his sword and cut off her nose and her ears. Defacing her, and she was screaming and yelling and howling and running back to her brother Ravan and telling him, look what they have done to me. Now Ravan, he became very, very powerful from this curse, from this blessing from Lord Brahma. He was invincible. He defeated Indra. Indra is the king of heaven. That's about as good as it gets, as far as, you know, job title and position is concerned in this world. If you're trying to go for it, materially speaking, this is it. This is as good as it gets. But he defeated Indra. It was a good fight, but Ravan was invincible. He had this blessing that even if you cut his heads, the heads will grow back. So how can you defeat somebody like that? It's not possible. So he was causing a lot of disturbance. He was causing a lot of headache to everybody. And he was really impeding the sages and the sacrifices and all the things that were going on. So the sages became very, very disturbed. And they approached Vasishtha, right? Was it Vasishtha or was it Vishwamitra? That's what happens when you take notes, but you write so small that you can't read your own handwriting. It's kind of embarrassing. Who was the one who asked for Ram? Vishwamitra. Thank you. So Vishwamitra came to the court of Maharaj Dasarath, and he said that we have trouble in the forest, and we need help. So Maharaj Dasarath said, any help? No problem. Kshatriyas are very generous. He said, anything you want, I'll give it to you. He said, I only want one thing. Oh, what is that? You want armies? You want protection? You want help? You want things for your sacrifice? No, I just want Ram. Oh! That was like a thunderbolt on the head of Maharaj Dasarath. He was so affected because Ram was his life and soul. There was not a moment that he wanted to be separated from Ram. He was continuously in the association of Ram. So he told him, you can have anything, but leave me Ram. So the sage said, what is this? He got very angry, very red eyes. And he said, you're breaking your word. You can't go back on your promise. You're in this great dynasty of kings. This would be a great insult to your entire ancestral line. So he gave him Ram. And Ram went and he studied under the sage and he learned all the mantras. He learned all the different rituals. Even though the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely independent and he does not have to go to school, just like we are reading in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th Canto, 45th chapter, how Krishna and Balaram rescued their teacher's son. And they went to the ashram of Sandipani Muni in Ujjain. And they studied under him all the 64 arts in 64 days and nights. Did they learn those arts? So the Lord does not have to go to school, but because he wants to set an example, so he is acting in this way. It's a lila, it's his pastime. So he studied and he learned all the different activities and mantras very properly. And then he came back from the forest and there was this great dhanur, this great bow, the bow of Lord Shiva. It was so huge and so heavy that it took 300 men to lift it and to move it. There was a king, Janak, and he had a very beautiful daughter, Sita, who appeared from the earth, from Bhumi herself. And he wanted to give her in marriage. But because she was a very extraordinary child, he only wanted to give her to somebody who would be equally qualified as his daughter. That is a perfect match. People have to be equally qualified. Otherwise, they will not be a good combination. So, many kings came. Many, they could not even look at the bow. Many, they touched it, but they could not even move it. What to speak of picking it up. So it is said that whoever could string that bow, shoot an arrow, break that bow, he would win the hand of Sita. So even Ravan tried, so many tried, but they were all incapable of performing that feat. But when Ram, the youthful Ram, who was just in his budding youth, teenager, in his late teens, when he came, very effortlessly, he picked up that bow. And he twirled it around, and he strung it, and he pulled it, and boom! The huge sound, that bow broke. And pieces flew all over the place. There's a few holy places in India where pieces of that bow of Lord Shiva fell to the earth in different locations. So, it's a very special pastime. So then we hear how Lord Ram was banished to the forest, and he took that exile, put on the tree bark, and Mother Sita, being the universal mother, she is no one else but Srimati Radharani, she followed her husband. She could have said, "Oh, okay, goodbye, see you, honey. All right, have a nice day at the office, okay. Let me know how it goes. I'll see you tonight, or I'll see you in 14 years. But she said, "No, I'm going with him. I'm not staying back in the palace. No way." Even though they tried to persuade her, but she would have none of it. So she also put on tree bark. Any one of you ever tried wearing tree bark? Is there any shops here on Oxford or Regent Street which are selling tree bark? I think it went out of style. It's not the fashion anymore, is it? No. Now, you know, even if you take tree bark, you can work it a little bit to make it a little more soft. We have heard. We've never tried it. But it's not going to be that comfortable. So, she was so delicate. Her body was so fine and refined, and she was used to living in the palace all her life. But she went to the forest to accompany her husband, Ram. And Lakshman was guarding them day and night. He would not sleep. He was simply dedicated to the service of his worshipful master, Lord Ram and Sita Devi. And then we know that Ravan heard from his sister, Shupurnaka, that there is this Sita. I saw this very beautiful lady when I tried for Ram. And Ravan became very intrigued. He became very interested, because that's the nature of demons. They always want to usurp other people's property and other riches and beautiful things, especially the opposite sex. So Ravan became very intrigued. He became very interested. But he was cursed, because one time when he was roaming the woods, he saw one lady, beautiful lady, a sage, ascetic, with long matted hair, and she was performing meditation. So he approached her and he told her, "Oh, beautiful lady with shapely limbs, I am the powerful Ravan, and I want to enjoy with you. So please become my wife." But Vedavati said, I am simply meditating on the lotus feet of Vishnu because I want him to be my husband. Ravan became very upset. He became very angry. He said, well, Vishnu! What? He's a nonsense. He's weak. I'm Ravan. I defeated Indra. You should enjoy with me. And he grabbed her hair. Now with her yogic power, her arm turned into a sword, and she just cut off her hair. And he just had a bunch of hair in his hand. And she cursed him that if you ever try to force another lady, that will be the cause of your death. And she said that because of this offense, I will come again. We will meet again. And this will be the end of your existence. So she increased the fire element in her body. Agni took over. And she just burst up in flames and disappeared. So Ravan was quite scared. He knew that he has to ask. He cannot just force himself upon anybody. So he appeared in the disguise of a sadhu. And he put on saffron dress. He must have looked very stylish because Ravan is a rakshasa. He can take on any form he likes. So he took very nicely looking sannyas form. And he came and he was chanting mantras and ringing bell and asking for charity. Now we all know the story how Maricha had transformed into a deer because he was so afraid of Ravan. Ravan said, either you do it or I will eat you. Maricha said, I'd rather be killed by Ram than be eaten by you. That's not very good news, to be eaten by you. So all right, he took the form of a golden deer and he moved around the forest. And then we all know Ram left. And then Lakshman was still guarding Sita. But when Ram shot that arrow and killed Maricha, he imitated the voice of Ram and cried out, Sita, Sita, Lakshman. And she heard that. She said, Lakshman, did you hear? My husband, he's in trouble. You have to go and help him. Lakshman said, Ram is not in trouble. This can't be. I know his power. This must be some magical trick of some demon or rakshasa. But Sita Devi, being so kind-hearted and being a woman, she was so soft. So she said, no, you have to go. You have to help him. But Lakshman said, I have orders to protect you. So Lakshman stayed. But Sita started using very sharp words. She insulted him. She said, you're simply staying here because you want to enjoy me. You don't want to help your brother. And that was very painful. That was too much. He could not bear this. So he left. Paid his obeisances to fate and left. And he told her, don't step out of this magic circle. Don't, under any circumstance, come out of this circle that he drew. But when Ravan appeared as a sadhu and begged for charity, Sita is so charitably disposed, she wants to give alms, even though she's in the forest. She doesn't have anything, but there is some fruits and roots. Let's give those to this sage. And sage is saying, oh, you have to come here, I can't go there. So she stepped out one step and Ravan picked her up and took off with her on this great chariot that he had stolen from Kuvera, from his brother. So, then of course we know Jatayu, the great devotee who was in the form of a vulture. He was very, very old. Jatayu has been around for ages. How long is class supposed to last today? So, Jatayu, he saw Ravan flying through the sky, carrying Sita. He said, this cannot be. I have to stop this. So even though he was very old, he mustered up all his might. And he went up and he started insulting Ravan. He said, you're a jackal, you're a dog. Very strong words. You're just going into the kitchen and stealing while the householder is away. You're a very, very uncultured person. So Ravan started fighting him. And they had a good fight. Now, Jatayu is a vulture. So with his beak and with his fangs, he was taking out huge chunks of Ravan's flesh. He was just attacking him like anything and beating him with his wings and with his claws. He was, and his beak, he was taking out entire chunks of flesh from Ravan. Ravan was suffering so terribly under the assault, under the attack of Jatayu. He became so angry and upset that he cut off the wings and the feet of Jatayu. And Jatayu fell to the ground and was bleeding profusely. And Sita Devi went there and she comforted him and consoled him. And she was so moved by his sacrifice and dedication. So Ravan picked up Sita and he took off and he went to Lanka. Now you have to know that Lanka, what is nowadays known as Sri Lanka, or in that area, some say it's a different island, but it's in that area, was formerly the residence of the demigods. When the demigods would reside on earth, when they would come here, that's the place where they would stay. But Ravan, being so powerful, he kicked them out. And he said, this is my place. I claim this place. And he turned it into his palace of gold. He made the entire city of Lanka from solid gold. It's also stated that there is a tunnel from Lanka to Brazil. And he would exploit the gold of the earth and bring it all to Lanka to build his wonderful city of Lanka. So he captured Sita. And when Ram came back, he found Lakshman. Lakshman came and found Ram. They both went back. They saw that Sita had been abducted. She went missing. So they were very aggrieved and very troubled. And they were making a plan how to find Sita. So the Vanaras, who were in the forest, is a long story, but just in short, this is the time wrapper, you know, the fast forward. They were offering their help to help Ram find Sita. Especially Hanuman. He was so powerful. He's the son of Vayu. Vayu is the wind god. Hanuman is a little baby monkey. He could move and fly because his father is Vayu. Where can the wind not go? The wind can go anywhere. In fact, we can only move because we have Vayu in our limbs. You know, you can only move your joints because there is the air element in there. If there's no air element, you ever hear like... You ever had that experience? Yes, it's because Vayu is missing. If Vayu is not there, you can't move. So Hanuman, being the son of Vayu, he can move like anything. So he was moving and moving. And because he's a little monkey, he likes to eat fruit. So he would just run around and eat fruit everywhere. So one time he saw the sun and he thought, wow, this looks like a nice mango. So he just took off and started flying. And he wanted to eat the sun. So Suryadev got very scared. And he said, whoa, 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 hey, you know, this is not cool. So Indra was commissioned to protect the sun. So Indra took his thunderbolt and he gently nudged Hanuman on his chin, which knocked him out because Indra's thunderbolt is very powerful. So when Hanuman was unconscious, not dead, but he was unconscious, His father became very angry, became very upset. So Vayu withdrew the air from the universe. Now, if you can't breathe, you die. And if your body doesn't have air, it can't move. So the whole system was just shutting down. Everything was under lockdown. This is the ultimate strike. When the air doesn't move anymore. We all know how constipation feels. Now, this was universal constipation. Nothing moved. Great source of calamity and agony. So they went to Vayu, and Vayu said, "What can I do? You're attacking my little boy with thunderbolts and trying to kill him. This is very bad. He's very upset." So the devas started giving blessings. They started giving praise. They started giving all kinds of boons to Hanuman. So Vayu became appeased. Okay, all right, fine. So let things go on. So he withdrew his lockdown, and Hanuman became very powerful. Now, because he's a little monkey, he became very mischievous. And he would jump around, and he would eat sages' offerings, and he would tie up their dhotis and their sikas, and he would do all kinds of mischief. And they were quite annoyed by this little monkey monkeying around and doing all those things. So they asked, okay, let him keep all his blessings, all his boons, but we want another boon, that let him forget about his potency. Let him forget about his powers. So that was also granted. Only when he's reminded by somebody, then he will remember that, oh, I've got all these blessings. So later on, when he was reminded that you can jump so far, then he would do it. Now, Lord Ram gave Hanuman the ring, his own ring, to bring to Sita. He sent out the armies to the north, the south, the east, the west. Hanuman went south. And they were on the shore of the ocean. And Hanuman jumped 800 yojanas to Lanka. And he went all around Lanka, all around this huge golden city, looking for Sita. He was in Ravan's palace. He saw women from every species, from every color, from every part of the universe who were there. And he was thinking, this is not a very good job. You know, I'm a brahmachari. I'm not supposed to look at all these ladies. So what can I do? But this is my service. So he was just continuously chanting, Ram, 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 Ram. So he was going through the palace of Ravan. He saw so many people intoxicated, lying around. Then he saw one lady. She was exquisitely beautiful. He didn't know who Sita was, how Sita looked. So he saw that lady. It was Mandodari, the primary queen of Ravan. After examining her carefully, he decided, no, she's not flawless. This cannot be Sita. And also, she's in the palace, so Sita would never succumb to Ravan. So he searched the entire city. He did not find Sita. He was very upset. And then he saw an Ashoka grove. He saw some little forest. And he saw one lady there, crying and continuously chanting the holy name of Ram. So he knew that this was Sita. So he was up in the tree, and he was starting to chant about the activities and the pastimes of Lord Ram. And Sita became very surprised. She became very captivated by this. So she asked him to come down, so he jumped down. But because he was in the form of a little monkey, he said, "Ha! You must be Ravan, trying to play some tricks on me." Because Ravan could change his form in any way he wanted to. But Hanuman said, "No." And he told some things which were very intimate, very confidential, that only Lord Ram and Sita knew. And he presented her Lord Ram's ring. But he did not give her the ring. He was holding the ring in his palms, and he said, "Who am I? I'm just a humble servant, a humble messenger. This is not my property. Because it's not my property, it's not mine to give. So, you please take it. It is your property." So he was offering the ring. and Sita Devi took it, and she remembered her worshipful Lord Ram, and she was very happy. And Hanuman said, "You can jump on my back, and we will be back with Ram in no time." She said, "I cannot touch anybody except my husband. Plus, and also, when he comes here and he kills Ravan and he rescues me, this will be his great glory." So Hanuman's duty, his service, his job description was find Sita. It was not bring Sita back. It was find Sita. So he had fulfilled his service, but as a perfect devotee, we should not be minimalists. We should not just do the minimum requirement. We should try to do a little extra service. So Hanuman thought, let me do a little extra service. So he started breaking up this Ashoka Grove, which was the favorite forest of Ravan. And he would just knock down the trees and cause havoc. Upon which, Ravan sent his army after him, and he killed the army effortlessly. Upon which, he sent his generals, and he killed the generals. He sent one of his sons, he killed that son. Then he sent Indrajit, the one who conquered Indra. So Hanuman said, "All right, I want to meet this Ravan. I want to have a good word with this fellow. And I want to see the outlay of his palace from the inside." So he allowed himself to be captured. They brought him to the palace. And Ravan was so angry, he was so upset. He wanted him tortured and killed. But Vibhishan, his youngest brother, who is a devotee, you see, when they all got blessings from Lord Brahma, Vibhishan also got blessings. Vibhishan also performed the tapasya. And he said, "Let my life be entirely dedicated to the service of Lord Ram, and I want to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Upon which all his brothers and sisters were very upset with him. But he got that boon, he got that blessing from Lord Brahma. So Vibhishan said, "He's a messenger. You cannot kill a messenger. You can punish him. You can cast him away, but you cannot kill a messenger. That's against Kshatriya code." So Ravan said, "Okay, we will punish him. We'll torture him. He's a monkey. He's very much attached to his tail." So they wrapped his tail with cloth, put it in oil, and lit it on fire. So now, throw him out. And in this way, let him suffer and die. But Hanuman, he was very happy. He said, "Oh, okay. I have seen now the palace of Ravan." First, he slapped Ravan in the face. He did many things. There was many in-between stories. It's a long story. But then he jumped on the roof, and the roof went on fire. And he jumped from building to building, palace to palace, and he set the entire Lanka ablaze, except the palace of Vibhishan. That's the only building he spared. Everything else, he burned it to the ground. And the Ashoka forest. Yeah. Or whatever was left of it. And he went back to report back to Ram. Then we know, of course, all these flying back and forth, there is a lot of stories, there is a lot of in-between. I hope today there is more time to hear all these nectarian pastimes. He went back, he informed Ram. Ram came with the army. They were on the shore of the ocean. And they built a bridge with the help of the Vanaras. And they were throwing boulders into the water. And there was a little spider who was also putting little grains of sand into the ocean. And Hanuman came with a boulder and said, "Hey, Spider-ji, move, or else you will be chutney. Spider-chutney, move out of the way." And Ram said, No. You are serving, he is serving. You are equal. So it's not about how many plates of prasadam we can devour and how many hours we can do service, but it's about offering our heart and our love to Lord Ram. Lord Ram, He's the perfect husband, the perfect son, the perfect king, the perfect ruler, the perfect father. So, he's showing all these qualities in perfection. Now, later on, of course, we hear things that are not pleasing to our ears. That Sita was banished to the forest, and Lavankusha took birth there in Valmiki Muni's ashram, and later on Sita Devi entered the earth. These are all things that give great trouble and heartbreak to the heart of the devotees. But again, we cannot take our mundane estimation of morality and justice and project it on the Supreme Lord, because the Lord is enjoying His loving pastimes with His devotees continuously. And this pastime of service and separation, Vipralamba Seva, is the highest form of loving exchange and relationships. So, there's a lot of notes, but there's little time. So Hanuman, he is worshipped by all the different traditions. We spoke yesterday in noon class. Who was here for noon class yesterday? Just one person. Okay. So Hanuman, you know, all these different sects in Hinduism, they fight about so many things. But everybody agrees on one thing. Hanuman is great. Isn't it funny? They disagree on Siddhanta. They disagree on practically everything. Huh? This one's supreme. No, that one's supreme. But everybody agrees. Hanuman is great. Huh? So, Hanuman, one time, he saw Mother Sita putting on sindur. And he asked, "What is this?" And she said, "Oh, this is very pleasing to Ram." So, then he went and he took bath in sindur. Put sindur all over himself. That's why everywhere you see Hanuman temple is usually orange or bright red color. And if you touch it, it will stick on you. So, because he's so enthusiastic for service. You cannot be more enthusiastic. Hanuman is always absorbed in Ram. One time, he was in his abode, and he was chanting Ram's name, and Garuda came, who is very close to Hanuman. And he told him, "You know, in Dwarka, Krishna is there, and he wants to see you. He wants to give you his darshan." But Hanuman was just continuing his meditation, chanting Ram, 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 Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram. So Garuda got very upset. He said, "What is this? This is not very nice, you know. Krishna wants to see you." So he wanted to pick him up and take him and bring him to Dwarka forcibly. But Hanuman just moved his tail and just, boom, he just gave him a gentle little nudge, which propelled, it transported Garuda all the way back to Dwarka. And he fell on the doorsteps of Krishna's palace. And Krishna was, "Okay, what happened? You know, what's happening?" So he told him, Krishna said, no, that's not what you have to do. You have to tell Hanuman that his worshipful Lord Ram wants to see him in Dwarka. So he went back and he told Hanuman, "Ram wants to see you." Immediately Hanuman jumped, not on the back of Garuda, but by himself, he jumped. And Krishna appeared as Lord Ram. And he asked his queen, Satyabhama, to take the form of Sita. And Satyabhama, she said, "No. Not going to do it." Why? Because that's the nature of their relationship. That's the nature of their relationship. But then he asked Rukmini, and Rukmini, she accepted. She's a different relationship. So she appeared in the form of Sita Devi. And Hanuman was so happy, and he's worshipping Sita Devi and Ram. Who are nobody else but Krishna and Rukmini. So, today, we should absorb ourselves in these wonderful pastimes of Sitaram, Lakshman, and Hanuman. And we should also understand that living here in London and Lanka have many things in common. is both places where wealth is hoarded, where people are concentrating gold and assets, where people are trying to usurp the property of the Supreme Lord. In fact, through colonialism, we know the history, what happened. But even now, colonialism may officially be over, but even now, through the financial arrangements, London is still one of the hubs, one of the primary centers where wealth and riches is being hoarded. So, this is the mentality of Ravan, to try to enjoy things separately from Krishna. And just like lust, whenever you think that, oh, I made a little advancement, but then another hood raises its head again. Like Ravan, he had his 10 heads. And when they were cut off, they were growing back. Till Ravan took his bow, an arrow, and he shot that arrow right through the heart of Ravan. And then he was finished. So if you want to conquer lust, we have to go to the core, to the heart of the matter. And that is, what is my motivation? What is my aspiration? Do I claim proprietorship? Do I claim to be the controller and enjoyer? Or do I see myself simply as a humble servant of Sita and Ram? Mm-hmm. So these are the great lessons that we can learn from the Ramayana. Valmiki Muni, who is the author of the authorized version of the Ramayana, he wrote this voluminous work, and he has been blessed by his guru, Narada Muni. Formerly, Valmiki was a murderer and a dacoit. He was robbing people and killing them. So when he met his guru, Narada showed him that, you know, what you're doing is not very good. And he showed him, he gave him a little preview of all the sinful reactions, of all the karma that would come and hit him. So he became a little thoughtful. So he thought, okay, all right, maybe it doesn't look too bright. So what can I do? So he gave him a mantra. But because Valmiki was very sinful, he could not chant the holy name. So he gave him the mantra Mara. Mara, 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 Mara. So he was chanting Mara, 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 Mara. But if you chant Mara, 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 Rama, 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 all of a sudden it turns into Rama. So he became purified. And he became a pure devotee. So in the same way, if we accept through the Guru Parampara the holy name of Krishna and Rama in our hearts, and we chant it with dedication and surrender, and we develop this humble service attitude that is imbibed by Hanuman, by Lakshman, by Bharat and Shatrughna, then we can always be together with our worshipful lords, Sitaram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Ram Navami ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande. Any questions, comments? Arrow in the heart. Any other points? So many. That's the correct answer, right? Many, yes, lots. When he broke the bow of Lord Shiva, these places, the pieces of the bow, they fell in many different places and created holy places on this earthly planet. Yes. Yes. I just heard lately about one holy place. I forgot to write it down and put it on my places to go list. But there's many. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I spent some time in Govardhan in Kartik, and just before Kartik, it was in the Sarat season, and that time all the Rajabasis are cleaning their house for Ramachandra coming back to Ayodhya. It's a very special time there. I was wondering if you had any insight into why is it that they're so, although it's the land of Krishna, it's Govardhan, why are they so endeared to Ramachandra?
Because Krishna and Ram are non different. They're the same. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was a doctor and a confidential devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And you know Lord Chaitanya in his Sadbuj, he's holding sannyas danda, water pot, and he's holding flute of Krishna, and he's holding bow and arrows. So Ramachandra. So Murari Gupta, Lord Chaitanya would tell him that you should chant the name of Krishna. So Murari, next day he came and he said, "My dear Lord, I want to get blessing, I want to get permission to give up my life." He said, why is that? He said that all night long I tried to chant Krishna's name, but I could not take my heart back. I have given my heart to Ram. I've put my head on his lotus feet. I cannot take it back. It's not possible. It's too painful. So I want to give up my life. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and said that you are such an exalted pure devotee. You are Hanuman. And Murari, he looked at Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was appearing as Lord Ram. And then he looked down on him and he had a tail. Huh? So Krishna, Ram, same. Not different. Huh? In fact, when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Ram, there's three Rams. There is Ramachandra, there is Balaram, and there is Parashuram. Yes, they're not different from Krishna. So the Brijbasis, they know that Ram, Krishna, but still, they prefer Krishna. Because that is the nature of spiritual life. That even there is perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. And even amongst most perfect, there is preferences. There are things that are just more appealing to certain devotees. It's not stereotype. We sometimes think in terms of stereotypes, but spiritual life is not a stereotype. We retain our individuality, our personality, our desires, relationships. But they're not of the mundane variety. They are spiritual. Any other points? So, yes, Prabhu.
Same question, but in a different way. As we were chanting a beautiful song, Sri Bhava Initiation, last night, and one of the things we noticed was that although it's a song with many beautiful names of Krishna, and there's also some beautiful names of Ram, who is, as you explained, but I guess what I'm trying to say or trying to ask is, what's so special about Ram in the sense that he's mentioned, although actually to be fair, Vamana is also mentioned.
Ramadi Murtishu Kalanyamena Tishtan. Ram is the first expansion. So Prabhupada said, Raman and Nishingadev, very special. That's why we worship them. Nishingadev is on our altar. Lord Ram, very special. So we should not see any contradiction. Sometimes because we have a small mind, we get a little bit into this sectarian mood, you know, where some people say, oh, I'll only worship Shyamasundar and all the other forms of Krishna. Pah! Why are you saying, you know, this name or that name? No, we should understand. Now, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I only know Shyamasundar and Govinda. I don't know any, there's so many names out there, but you know, this is what I'm concerned with. But Lord Chaitanya also would chant, Hari Hari, So we should not see any apparent contradiction, because sometimes it's the nature of our neophyte, of our mundane variety, that we try to see that there is contradiction. There seems to be a problem here. But the problem is, yes, the problem is here. The problem is me, that I cannot see that it's all good in Krishna's beauty and his magnanimity. And he appears to different people in different places, in different cultures, in different ways, in different forms. Sometimes as an animal, sometimes as a human, sometimes as a half animal, half human. Yeah? That is, Krishna is the supreme actor. Like you see here in London, you know, West End and all that, and people are working hard to try to come up with new scripts and new dramas and new theater and new this and new that, and it's all kind of same old, same old. But Krishna, he is the original actor. I mean, can you think of a more dramatic appearance than, you know, he drops out of the nostril of Lord Brahma as a little pig, and then he becomes big as Varahadev. Or he comes out of the pillar, you know, the pillar breaks and boom, out comes Lord Narasimhadev, half man, half lion. I mean, that's dramatic. That's super special. So let us absorb ourselves in these pastimes. And Srila Prabhupada gave us Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost literature. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. There's so many books about Ram, but these two chapters in ninth canto and Valmiki's Ramayana, these are the bona fide versions. Because there's a lot of other people who are commenting and writing so many things according to their own view. And then sometimes you hear stories that are not bona fide, that really confuse people. Because they're made up. They're just invented. They're just created. So we should see how everything is part of the bigger picture, but at the same time retain our loyalty and fidelity to our line, that we don't get confused and sidetracked by all these different ideas. I don't know whether that answers your question, but okay, so that lets me off the hook. Okay. Thank you for being so kind and magnanimous, you know. Yes. Krishna has a purpose in what he does, and what's his purpose in appearing as Lord Ram? That was the question.
And if I can add to that, please.
Can I?
He comes, Ram is not as strong as Krishna. He was beaten by Meghnas. And he went through penances of being in the forest for 14 years. So why has he come as not a super soul? As
we spoke in class, he came to show the example of a perfect husband, a perfect son, a perfect king, a perfect ruler. He has set these examples. If you study Ramayana. You see a king, his primary concern is the welfare of his citizens. His personal enjoyment and the enjoyment of his family is of less importance. Now you see it because we think, oh, how can he enjoy life without Sita, right? I wouldn't do that, you know. I mean, I would just, you know, who is this little guy who makes trouble? But he sees the well-being of the citizens as more important than the well-being of his own immediate kind and kin, his own family. That is the degree to which he is dedicated to his people. Now we can project our morality and our logic and our reasoning, but it will not fit. It will not really work. Now we can speak many hours about why he did what he did, and of course it's troublesome to our heart. It's not pleasing It's not appealing. Even the Lord, why does he say, I just accept one wife? Why does he limit himself? Because he wants to give the proper example for all the people. Confirmed. Are you happy with that? Okay. Yes. But because she was his wife and part of his immediate family, she had to sacrifice. Because that's the example that a king shows, that he is ready to sacrifice. And whoever is part of his family and his entourage has to be ready to sacrifice for the well-being of the others. What would you add to that? Okay, so today is a blissful day of hearing and chanting. We have many activities, many services that can be rendered for the pleasure of their lordships, Shishi Radha Landanishwar, who are none different from Sita Ram. So Jani Thai Prabhu will tell us how the festivities will unfold. Thank you for your kind patience and attention. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Ram Navami ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Navina Nirda Prabhu ki jai.
Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Thank you very much, Navina Nirda Prabhu, for a nice class. I was listening upstairs. Took us through the full pastime. I could tell you were tempted to dive into many other areas. It's very, very long pastime. But thank you very much for transporting us to Ayodhya and to the forest, and such a nice darshan also today. Very beautiful. Lord Ram, Lakshman have manifested. So please let us express our gratitude and appreciation Navina Nirda Prabhu by chanting very loudly three Hari Bols.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
His Grace Navina Nirda Prabhu ki jai. So today is the auspicious occasion of the appearance of Lord Ram, and we have a full day of festivities. So we'll start now with some bhajans. It will take us up to the midday aarti and kirtan at 12:30, and then at 1 o'clock today we'll have another special class, Ram Navami class, that will be given by Sri Ishupanishad Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple, who will be here, and he'll also continue with the Ram Katha and Ram Leela. And then we'll have afterwards we'll have Maha Harinam. So we'd like to encourage everyone to be around, to go out and chant the glories of the Lord on the streets for the public at large. So, and then 4:30 we will have an Abhishek ceremony. I think we have Ram Sheila that will be Abhishaking. So, phew. So there will be many Ram Sheilas here for the Abhishek, 4:30 until about 5:15, something like that. Okay. Yeah. And then there'll be a drama. The Radhakrishna drama group will be putting on a drama of Lord Ram's pastime. That will be here in the temple room, 5:15. And then there'll be a class in the evening around 5:45, 6 o'clock. And then 7 o'clock, Sandhya Aarti and Kirtan. And 7:30, breakfast. So those of you who are doing full day fast, that would be a magic moment, and we'll serve the feast here in the temple room. I think you got enough pictures of me, but it's okay. Yes, just waited for years for that. And then those of you who are still enlivened and inspired to stick around, we'll have Shayan Aarti at 9 o'clock, last Aarti of the festival day, and Radha Landanishwar Prabhu and a group of bhajaneers will be here to lead bhajans and kirtan until late. So devotees are also welcome, please, to be here for the chanting and dancing festivities. Jai Shri Ramchandra Bhagavan Ki. Jai. So we'll stop now, and bhajans will start. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Navina Narada Prabhu Ki Jai. Natai Gaudiya Premanandi. Hare Krishna. I forgot to read out the scores, so we can just do that very quickly. So for the pleasure of their lordships yesterday, I don't see any book distribution scores, but we distributed in Radha's Boutique 4 books for 188 Lakshmi points. And in Govinda's restaurant, big day, 520 customers approximately for a total of 2,258 Lakshmi points. Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai. And we'll offer our prayer to their lordships to inspire and empower and enable us to distribute some of Srila Prabhupada's books. A reminder to devotees who are around that tomorrow there will be a Maha Sankirtan Day tomorrow in Kingston. So they'll have Sacred Street Party there. Navina Niradapu will be joining as well as many other devotees from around the area. So if you live nearby or in Kingston and you want to go and distribute some books, everyone is welcome. Book table and lots of kirtan and bhajan going on in the streets of Kingston. So devotees are encouraged to attend tomorrow. Dear Shri Shri Radhananda Nishwara, Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra, Shri Shri Gaurini Thai, Giri Govardhan, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, we offer our most respectful obeisances unto you. With a mood of deep gratitude and appreciation, we request your causeless mercy upon us. For your pleasure, we are endeavoring to distribute the books of your pure devotee Srila Prabhupada to the fallen conditioned souls of London. Please enable us to cooperate together in a mood of selfless service in order to maintain and increase our efforts. Please send more devotees to assist us in bringing many new souls to your lotus feet. We, your surrendered servants, humbly beg. Jai Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.